Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY21 earnings conference call of Aditya Birla Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on the touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Srinivasan, Chief Executive, Aditya Birla Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining this call on our Q1 results, a quarter where most of us spent our time indoors during lockdown. I'm joined today by my senior colleagues, and today together we take you through our presentation, which I trust you either have with you in as a hard copy or in the screen in front of you. I'd like to start with slide number three, which has the key highlights for Q1. I'd like to start first by talking about the overall results, and I think as the results would show you, we have displayed resilience across businesses despite, as I said, the quarter being a quarter where all of us were working under lockdown. In a quarter such as this, our consolidated PAT at the Aditya Birla Capital level grew 1.4x quarter-on-quarter to just under 200 crores at 198 crores. We were not only one of the first to move to work from home, but we were also one of the first entities, in our view, to restart our businesses. The 91% of our overall ABC branches have been operational with very strict health measures and protocols in place to ensure both employee and customer safety. Moving on to the businesses, our life insurance business had a very good Q1. We grew 5% year-on-year, and that's good given the environment we're working in and given the fact that the industry itself de-grew by 23% in the same quarter. Our growth was significantly ahead of industry growth in Q1. Our health insurance continued to grow extremely strongly. We grew in Q1 by 72% year-on-year to just under 250 crores of premium with a retail mix of 73%, and we now have the distinction of being the fastest-growing health insurance company in the sector. Our asset management company monthly AUM has rebounded, and this was aided by our focus on retail, our focus on SIP, and our focus on the B30 markets, as you will see subsequently. We have maintained our core operating profit in our lending businesses, the NBFC and housing finance company, despite slower disbursements due to the lockdown situation that we operated under. Our NBFC PBT, excluding the COVID provision that we've made, grew by 42% quarter-on-quarter, aided by a reduction in our cost-income ratio of about 220 basis points and lower credit costs. Our housing finance company NIM expanded quarter-on-quarter, and our PAT, excluding COVID provisions, grew by 40% year-on-year. The other financial services businesses, so this is a portfolio of other businesses that we've had over a period of time, that profit before tax grew by 64% year-on-year, so clearly these businesses are now contributing significantly to the overall profitability of Aditya Birla Capital. Last, I think we want to spend some time talking about technology because the deployment of technology across the platform is really what has helped us operate in this situation, improve customer experience, and improve efficiency of the platform across the board. Moving on to slide number four to the results of Q1, I want to call your attention to three points on this slide. The first is that in spite of being under lockdown, our revenue has grown by 9% Q1 2021 over Q1 2020. So in spite of being in a situation where we were working from home, we were still able to grow our revenue. Our PAT, as I just mentioned earlier, is 1.4x of what it was in the previous quarter, which is Q4 of FY20. The third area I want to draw your attention to on this slide is regarding cost. OpEx optimization has been a key area of focus for us in our plans for the year. It's also something that I spoke about at the last investor call. In our aggregate non-volume linked cost, excluding Aditya Birla Health, which is in clearly a different mode of growth, our Q1 OpEx was down by 10% Q-on-Q. So clearly, the efforts to tighten costs are already showing even in the Q1 results. Our Q1 standalone cost is down by 42 crores versus Q1 of 20, driven by lower brand and marketing expenses and the elimination of interest cost, which we had as a result of raising equity in FY20. So we are on target to achieve an overall reduction of 8% over our annualized FY20 base, something that I referred to in the previous investor call. Moving on to slide five, I want to just talk a little bit about our technology and our push to digital and the impact that it's had. Our push to digital and our reliance on technology to improve our customer and distributor experience and overall efficiency has been something that's been ongoing, but I think it's one of the key reasons for our resilience in Q1 during the lockdown. So I want to walk you through our approach to technology and some of the outcomes that we've seen. Essentially, we look at technology being leveraged in five key customer-facing areas, namely pre-purchase, onboarding, the renewal and collection journey, customer service, and in providing an integrated experience across all our businesses at the Aditya Birla Capital level. This slide is a fairly busy slide, and you see a lot of data on it because I think we've had reasonable success across each of these measures that I spoke about. But I just want to stop and run you through a video that will give you a sense of the journey and some of the things that we've done in the area of digital and technology. May we have the audio visual, please?
Sure, sir. We are playing the video. Sir, you may go ahead now.
Let me now hand over to Rakesh Singh, our leader for our lending businesses, our NBFC and housing finance, and Rakesh will walk you through the highlights for these two businesses.
Thank you, Ajay. Now, moving to slide 7, I will give you a performance overview of NBFC business. As the country moved out of the lockdown, 100% of our branches became operational. In quarter 1, we did 37% of business of the previous quarter of FY20. So almost 37% which we did. If you look at 47% of quarter 4 numbers, we did it in quarter 1. July was even more encouraging. 70% of the business which we did in quarter 1, we did in July. Important to point out that 66% of this business was retail and SME. We continue to leverage the government scheme, which is the emergency credit facility provided, and the SIDBI CGT SME for our MSME customer segment. We have been pushing digital during the lockdown, and 75% of the customers we onboarded in quarter 1 through digitally. We have been, for the last couple of years, we have been focusing on rebalancing portfolio towards target segment. And retail portfolio has been growing well. It has grown 17% year on year. With a focus on cost rationalization and reduction, we reduced OPEX by 11% quarter on quarter in this quarter 1. In terms of improvement in PCR, on our stage 3, we improved our PCR by 5.3% to 38.6%. Collections efficiency in loan book, which is under moratorium, which is not under moratorium, saw similar level of collection efficiency which we saw in quarter 1 of last year. Our core operating profit was quite stable. PBT for the quarter 1, excluding COVID provision, grew 42% quarter on quarter. Now moving to the next slide, slide 8. If you look at, and I mentioned this, July disbursement has been quite encouraging for us, and we look forward as we go and as the lockdown really eases out, the business will improve further. On the right hand side, if we see, majority of the growth last year has come from the retail segment. At the same time, we have been trying to right size our corporate and institutional business, and I just want to highlight we have reduced our structured finance business by 46% year on year. Looking at the environment, our construction finance book is also down 12% year on year. Our loan against security, looking at the volatility, we reduced it by 57% year on year. Moving to the next slide, slide 9, we have been building granularity across all our customer segments. But I just want to take your attention to our retail segment. Retail segment, which was 15% of our overall portfolio, has moved to 19%. And this segment will continue to grow. We have a plan to add 50 to 70 new locations for retail expansion, and we'll take a call once the economy opens up in quarter 3, quarter 4. With focus on both retail and SME, we expect to grow the NBFC portfolio this year by close to 5%. Moving to the next slide, slide 10, and talking about the profitability metrics, we have maintained our margins, the core margins, at 4.8% compared to 4.76% last quarter. If you look at, we have improved our cost of borrowing by 20 basis points. It has come down to 7.94 compared to 8.14 last quarter. With focus on cost rationalization, our cost income ratio has come down to 31.3% compared to 33.5% last quarter. And we have maintained the core operating profit in this quarter. Moving to the next slide 11, and we talk about the quality parameters of the portfolio. If we exclude the island effect, our stage 3 is 3.13%. In this quarter, we have improved our provision cover by 5.3%. We expect a 50% resolution of these accounts, the stage 3 accounts, in this year. And we are working on few of the accounts at this point in time. And once the lockdown and everything else eases, we will be able to resolve this. In this quarter, we have provided 50% additional COVID provision that will take our provision cover on COVID to 30 basis points. This has been arrived by stress testing our portfolio in terms of the LGDs and the PDs. If we look at 28% of our AUM is under moratorium at this point in time, and the non-moratorium portfolio, 85% of the portfolio under under moratorium was never in 30 days overdue in the preceding 3 months before the lockdown. So December, Jan, Feb, if we look at, these accounts were never under 30 plus. Collections efficiency, I mentioned earlier, that has reached to the efficiency of first quarter of last year. In terms of secured, we have 80% portfolio which is secured. Apart from that, 4% of our retail unsecured portfolio is covered under the credit guarantee. So almost 84% of our portfolio is secured in nature. I'll move to the next slide, which is the ALM slide. Our ALM is quite comfortable. Till the next 1 year, we have a very, very positive ALM. If you look at, we continue to raise long-term money and our long-term mix is close to 87%. Even at a stress case scenario, our funds available is closer to 12,000 crores against a liability maturity of 9,249 crores. So quite comfortable in terms of the ALM profile which we have. We have a very comfortable capital adequacy of 20.1%. I'll move to the next slide 13, leveraging technology. And during the lockdown, this really got really enhanced. And if you see it across, whether it's the customer onboarding, distributor onboarding, digital payments and collections, customer service, all parameters improved significantly over the last year. So in terms of digital customer service, if you see, it was 23% last year, which has improved to 85%. And digital payments also has improved from 88% to 99%. The next slide 14, is a financial slide. I will leave you to go through this, and if there are any questions, we'll be happy to take the questions. I'll move now to the housing finance and move to slide number 16. Again, story post the lockdown and once the markets have started opening up, our business have really picked up. In the month of July, we have logins, which is 84% of the previous year. June month, it was 53%. So it's completely improving month on month, which you can see. Gross disbursal in the month of July was 53% of previous year. And the gross disbursement in July was 2x. Of what we did in the quarter one. Again, in this business, there was a strong focus on driving the digital platform and digital acquisition. We enabled direct and DSA assisted journeys, and 85% of our new sourcing was done through the digital and the mobile platform. We continue to focus on the affordable home loans, which grew 37% year-on-year, and our construction finance book came down by 34%. Construction finance is just 4% of our overall portfolio. Our NIM in this business improved by 31 basis points quarter-on-quarter and 29 basis points year-on-year. Collections efficiency in the book, not under moratorium, is at a similar level as what it was in Q1 last year. Again, PPOP is very stable, and excluding COVID provision, the profitability, the PBT grew by 23% quarter-on-quarter. Moving to slide 17, we have been focusing on retail and affordable segment. And if you look at 96% of our portfolio is retail, only 4% is construction finance. Our affordable book has grown by 3.5 times over the last 2 years. And that you can see on the right-hand side, most of the growth last year has come from affordable and retail loan against property segment. With the focus on affordable housing segment, we expect to grow this portfolio by 10 to 15% this year. Want to move to next slide, slide 18, on the sourcing strategy and see the geographical mix. A lot of focus is on affordable, and that is the reason the non-metro locations are contributing and the growth is coming from the non-metro locations. Now the non-metro location book mix is now 45%. If you look at the average ticket size of home loans, that's come down from 35 lakhs to 30 lakhs. Affordable segment, 63% of our affordable segment comes from the salaried segment. So again, that's a reflection of our portfolio quality in the affordable segment. Moving to slide 19, and talking about the profitability metrics, we improved our margin by 31 basis points. The margins improved from 2.96 to 3.27. This was benefited by 19 basis points, cost of borrowing coming down by 19 basis points, and improvement in product mix. And clearly, we have maintained our core profit during the challenging times. I will move to the slide 20 and talking about the portfolio quality. Stage 3 book in housing, we have 1.2% is stage 3. 32% is a PCR or the provision cover. 28% of our retail loan book is under moratorium, and 92% of the loan under moratorium were never in 30-plus DPD preceding the 3 months of the lockdown. So again, a reflection of the portfolio which is under moratorium. In terms of if you look at stage 3, we have a good security cover, and our resolution should be better there as well. In terms of construction finance, which I mentioned is only 4% of our portfolio, 9 crores is the average ticket size and quite manageable. Affordable home loans, if we look at, the average ticket size is 13 lakhs, and 29% of affordable home loans is backed by mortgage guarantee provided by IMGC. And 48% of this portfolio is covered by Pradhan Mantri Awas subsidy. 30% of our book under moratorium is covered by IMGC, which is a mortgage guarantee. Moving to slide 21, we have a well-matched ALM, and again, the very comfortable ALM here as well. And if we stress test this, again, till June 21, we are quite comfortable. If you look at on the right-hand side, funds available till June 21 is 3,137 against a liability maturity, which is only 1,625. Again, very comfortable capital adequacy of 17.8% in this business. We have leveraged technology during the lockdown, and we are really on our path to increase our sourcing and servicing our customers through digital platforms. And if you look at on the right-hand side, whether it's the digital onboarding, customer interactions on digital channels, digital collections and self-servicing, everything has improved significantly. And if you look at self-servicing, has moved from 46% to 93%. and digital onboarding, which was only 10% in quarter four last year, has gone up to 85%. So we are leveraging and we are really using technology to reach out to our customers and serve them. If we look at the profits of the last 2 years, the PAT is at 37% if we exclude the COVID provision and compared to 35 crores of previous quarter. The return on assets have improved by to 1.24% compared to 1.18 previous quarter. The next slide is the financial slide, and I will leave you with the financial slide. If there are any questions, we will be more than happy to take those questions. Thank you so much. I will now hand over to Bala Subramaniam, who is the MD and CEO of our asset management business.
Thanks, Rakesh. From the AMC business point of view, I think beginning of the quarter, we could gain our momentum, wherein we have seen our assets under management growing by about 8% from 2,000,000 crores to 2,70,000 crores for June ending closing. And closing equity AEM moved up from 65,000 crores to 78,000 crores, grew by about 19%. And overall maintained the leadership position in fixed income category, which are comprising of high margin assets up to about 98,000 crores. In our retail franchise, continue to keep our focus on retail assets, average assets and management increased by 12% in the month of April to June to about 44,000 crores roughly. And B30 average assets and management also grew by about 12% from April 20th, the number. And overall, our focus in terms of SIPs resulted in the number coming up to 27% quarter-on-quarter growth from 31,000 crores to about 31,000 crores. And overall market share in SAP is improved about 10.29% from 9.89% in the past. And then leveraging digital technology, I think we use this COVID lockdown period, use the digital technology to the fullest. And as a result of that, our transaction volume moved completely to 94% to digital transaction from 18% in the previous quarter. Ramped up digital enrollment of customers per month, about 50,000 digital investors we could enroll to transact with us during this period using technology. Also increase the footprint in digital platforms such as PhonePe, GrowApp, and several such digital platforms. We increased our presence as well as improved our servicing to the digital platforms. Overall profitability, PBT to the AEM improved about 24 basis points from 22 basis points for the quarter ending March 2020. And overall profitability we could maintain at the same level, more or less close to the same level as of the March quarter ending 2020. And focus on cost control, as Ajay mentioned about, the continued, even the AMC, we could do that effectively. Reduce the overall cost by about 7% compared to the previous quarter as well as previous year. With respect to the specific numbers, and the next slide is 15 and 27. Overall, though the assets under management on closing came about 2,17,000, for the quarter, we had an average assets of about 2,20,000 crores. Which of course includes the 3 months of asset gathering. The same time, the overall customer base remained at 7.2 million customer base. Again, from retail base that we had built, that we could maintain that. And overall equity assets, as I mentioned, that it grew by about 8% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. And on overall assets, and equity grew by about 19% during the quarter. So moving to the next slide, 28. The overall traction in retail, as I mentioned earlier, the mix of retail and HNI is about 45% total assets under management, grew by about 4% on overall basis between retail and HNI put together, and retail assets grew by about 12%, and overall it has caused about lack of corrupts, again quite a healthy mix that we have in the overall asset mix. And within that, which we have been building in terms of building our B30 market average AUM, also have seen a growth of 15.3% overall contribution coming from B30 market, growing about 12% to about 34,000 crores. And SIP mix and overall moved up by 27% from 20,000 crores to 31,000 crores, which again takes into account the monthly inflows about 841 crores, including SIPs, as I mentioned on the right side of the presentation, and which again I mentioned about earlier, about market share from 9.9% to 10.9%. Again, it reflects on our focus on building our retail through SIPs and also the overall contribution of SIPs to the total assets under management. And slide number 29, with respect to the distribution, of course, the overall distribution channel partners dealing with NDs and organized channel and ISVs and direct continue to remain more or less same in terms of focus. Our overall market share also more or less remains the same. Except in the case of ISVs, given the fact that we work with ISVs very closely, and that actually improved from 47% in Q1 of last year and 47% of Q of last year to about 49%. And overall, in terms of number of locations which you operate, the remain at 310, number of ISVs with whom we deal with remain at 80,000 numbers. And of course, the other channels that are which we are dealing with continue to serve our the need of growing our size. During this COVID period of 3 months, we actually could use the opportunity to connect with the customers as well as the distributors using a digital platform. We conducted various investors seminars as well as distribution engagement program. All these things not only resulted in the customer base increase by about 47, which I mentioned earlier, for the month. We could also empanel close to about 300 ISVs to our business during this period. And we could also tie up with new digital distributors, now which have gone about 75. And therefore, we could actually create not only awareness about our digital platform, we could also make them sweat a bit in terms of adding overall growth to the business. Leveraging technology continues to remain the focus area for us, both for onboarding of customers, ensuring that pre-purchase journey is made smoother, as well as customer retention happens through the using analytical tools, and finally, of course, servicing the customers using the self-service platform. In all these areas, we made a good progress. On the right side, if you look at in each of these areas, whether it's digital transaction or personalized customer interaction, digital channels, digital payments, self-service, everywhere we have seen a growth coming from a quarter-on-quarter with substantial improvement. And with respect to a specific where we have been undertaking a few activities like in the pre-purchase journey, using our portal and using analytics, next best offer that we offer for selling our product to the existing customers in order to increase our customer base, we have seen reasonably good progress of adding assets to the overall gross sales to the extent of 587 crores in one of the activities. And analytical based platform has also added to the 150 crores assets and management. You could also use this platform, digital platform, to retain SIPs. As you all know, the SIP is getting stagnated in the industry. The same time, we ought to also retain our SIP assets. We have seen some progress on that using digital platforms. The last thing with respect, of course, the numbers, though Ajay mentioned about briefly, and overall the profitability of PBT, we maintained more or less the same number of last quarter, with improvement in basis point contribution from 22 basis points for March ending 2020 to about 24 basis points as of June ending. With this, I'll invite Kamlesh Rao, who is the MD and CEO of the Lakshman Life Insurance, to take you to the insurance business.
Thank you, Bala. So, referring to slide 34, the first quarter has largely been a full lockdown period with some easing that we saw in parts of the country in June. In the LI industry, which is broadly driven by banca contribution of 55% and non-banca at 45% for private players, the industry saw a degrowth of 23% year-on-year in individual premium business and 20% degrowth year-on-year in the group insurance business. ABSLI in the first quarter grew 5% as compared to the first quarter last year. And the group insurance business, we actually grew 3x in Q1 of 21 as compared to last year. The lockdown period clearly defined that to be successful during this time, we'll need highest level of digital enablement across sales, service and renewal collections. In that regard, we were able to reach greater than about 3.5 lakh customers we engaged with digitally. 10% of our business actually came through the pre-approved offers that we executed on our two-click, three-click digital journeys that we put in place in Q1 of this year. 96% of our business, individual business, was actually sourced digitally. And renewal collections on digital mode in value terms reached 65% and on number of policies basis reached actually 87%, significantly higher than the same time last quarter last year. The quarter saw a healthy mix in our channel strategy with a 42-58 mix between proprietary and banca, as well as a healthy product mix strategy with controlled units and higher protection business, both of which contribute to higher gross margins. Digitization continued to have positive impact on our quality of business, with persistency going up in all cohorts and the 13 months actually going up by 200 basis points year on year. The higher top line with well-managed costs improved our OPEX to premium ratio to 16.3% for the quarter. Despite GSEC rates moving down, the healthy product mix saw us getting gross margins at 33.1% and net margins actually improving over the same quarter of last year. On slide 35 gives you the same picture between the individual and the group business. The point to note on the group new business premium, the growth being 3 times. We continue to grow this segment, keeping in mind that it is value accretive and it contributes both top line as well as the bottom line of the company. If you look at slide number 36, it basically talks about leveraging technology in different areas. And if you look at the graphs on the right hand side, with 96% of our sourcing being done digitally, 80% of distributor portal adoption, digital renewals, as I said, already reaching 65%, and self-service levels at 96%, just indicates the adoption of digital within the firm, which will augur well for both top line and reduce costs through the year. Slide 37 gives you an idea of the breakup between our partnership and proprietorship business. On the left-hand side, our partnership is one of the largest bank card tie-ups we have, with access to more than 9,500 plus branches. And in our business, on the proprietorship side, if you look at the mix of the protection business, which is now at 13%, it's at the top quartile as far as protection mix is concerned among proprietary channels across the life insurance industry. Slide number 38 gives you a overall product mix that we have. It's reasonably balanced between ULIP being at 32% and the traditional business being at balance 68%. And in the non-par business, 100% of our expected maturity benefits of guarantee portfolio are fully hedged. On the right-hand side, gives you some idea of the product launches that we have done in spite of the lockdown period. An interesting product on the child plan, riders with ULIPs, all of which contributed to both business as well as incremental volumes that we got and incremental margins that we got in Q1 of this year. Slide number 39 gives a perspective of the quality of our business. There's a renewal premium which is growing at 2-year CAGR of 11%, while in spite of lockdown, Q1 of financial year 21, renewal premium collected was higher than Q1 of last year. Persistency trends, like I spoke about, not only the 13th month, but across all the cohorts, the persistency is going up, including the 61st month, which is now closer to 50%, and we hope that this will grow through the balance part of the year. OPEX, I mentioned, as compared to Q1 of last year, which was 23%, is down to 16.3%, combination of both top line as well as controlled costs that we managed in Q1 of this year. Slide number 40 speaks about the margins and our various businesses. If you look at the gross VNB margins, in spite of GSEC rates of where they are, at 5.9 as compared to 6.9 same time last year, we were able to get gross margins of 33%, and that's the healthy mix of products I spoke about. And idea of the net VNB, if you look at what we have done this year, quarter one is significantly better than Q1 of last year, as well as Q1 of the prior year. The reason I'm referring to Q1 of the prior year is to give some indication of where it will end by the end of the year, because last year in financial year 20, part of the net VNB was muted because of loss of business in the last 15 days. So the way the trend is going, it looks like we'll be in reasonable double-digit net VNB by the end of this year. Slide number 41 is on the financials, bulk of which I have already covered and spoken about. If there are any questions, I'll be more than happy to take at the end of the presentation. This I invite Mayank, who is our MD CEO of the health insurance company.
Thank you, Kamlesh, and I'm very happy to share the results for the HI business. We had an extremely good quarter with growth of 72% during the quarter, backed by 95% growth in our retail portfolio, and which now makes it 73% of our overall business that we do. This growth of 72% was in the light of 6% growth at the industry level for health insurance and 16% for all the SAHI companies, about 5x of where the industry was in the same quarter. The reason why I think we have been able to do this industry-leading growth is because, one, our very unique and differentiated health-first business model rather than insurance-first model that traditionally has been played out in India, which actually relates much better with the younger and the healthier, and as well as consumers who have some condition, both of whom were not fully being catered to by the segment. In addition, we also have a very large health ecosystem, which we use to engage very effectively with the in a consumer set, and the early results are reflected in a 20% higher persistency and 6% lower claims for the active customers. Secondly, our very scaled and diversified and at the same time digitally enabled distribution network has helped us grow significantly. We have 9 banker tie-ups giving us access to 14,000 plus branches across the country, and especially in these times to the salaried class, which is a much better segment for health insurance, and this is why we have about 66% of our business coming in from banks. In addition, because we had great strength in tele-enabled digital sales, we leveraged that across all our face-to-face channels also in these times, and our total digital issuance in the Q1 was moved up to 98%, though we already were very high at 93% in the previous year. We have also invested significantly in technology and digital across the entire customer journeys, and the numbers are reflected here, whether it's onboarding, servicing, where we use WhatsApp extensively, or even renewals where it went up to 92% digitally in this quarter vis-a-vis 65% in the same time last year. All of this has resulted in much improved profitability, with our combined ratio now inching down further to 132% vis-a-vis 146 last year. And we're very confident that we should be moving towards sub 110% by the last quarter of this financial year, which means that we are on track for break-even by Q4 FY22, which is what we have been indicating for quite some time. Moving on to slide 44, this is just further expansion of what I spoke about our offering, where clearly our effort has been to expand the market through a health first model, where if you see the younger and healthier segment, which is 65% of India's population below 35, they find it very relevant because of our incentivized wellness model, and segment which actually needs with above the age of 55, which were not necessarily getting either insurance or the right kind of insurance, we cover them through our chronic and disease risk management program. And overall, we have a very diversified portfolio from bite-sized Ruby one-click product to a global insurance cover, for $1 million. Moving to the next slide, this is just to give you a sense of how we have leveraged our engagement to convert all of that into health data, and using analytics to now move into hyper-personalized engagement through a health risk score with each of our customers, which makes the engagement very relevant at a personal level. And then we use the ecosystem to recommend specific interventions which can be funded or the customer will fund themselves. Moving on to slide 46, on our distribution, as I said, very well diversified and large distribution. Apart from 9 banks, we have got 30,000 advisors selling for us, and apart from brokers, the fact that they're now present across the country is reflected in the 63% non-metro GWP for us, and therefore it's not just a metro phenomenon. And the other thing is that our digital leverage is being further strengthened by investing further in both agency and banks to create significant advances. In the last quarter, we onboarded 100% of our digital advisors digitally, engaged with 12,000 plus advisors through training, and we continue to invest further. In addition, given the large ABG ecosystem, where health insurance clearly is a very relevant product, we have our ABG focused channel, both on feet on street and digital, are playing out extremely well, and we expect to expand that going ahead. Slide 47, to expand further on our digital footprint in the consumer journey, end-to-end from onboarding to, servicing, engagement and renewal. We have an industry-leading, health app to, features on WhatsApp, which is very popular, multilingual chatbot. And, the metrics are there for you to see on how WhatsApp servicing has increased and renewals, as I said, 92%. But in addition, using this to reach out to 37 million plus customers and prospects in COVID time using our Health from Home initiative, which was a big success. Slide 48 gives us you a sense of business outcome, for the last 3 full financial years, moving 3.2 times, in revenue, 8.9 times in customer acquisition, an extremely good trend in, all our profit ratios, especially claims, and also the combined ratio to 132%. Our belief is that this growth will be sustained going ahead because of the external trends which provide us a tailwind, whether it's consumer behavior or channel mix or the digital assets. And in each of these areas, we have gained strength, as we have shared in the previous few slides. The last slide on financial is it just gives the data, and we'll be happy to address any question that you may have. I pass on to Ajay for the closing comments.
Thank you, Mayank. I just want to move on to slide 52. As I said at the beginning, we've worked very hard on optimizing our portfolio of businesses. This group of businesses we call other businesses, which included a group of businesses we had started, used to lose money up to FY19. We then rationalized this portfolio and they turned profitable in FY20. Now the businesses that are there in the portfolio are scaling up in their own right and they're all profitable. So as you'll see from this slide, these businesses have grown by 64% year on year, largely driven by a general insurance broking business, which has grown its PBT by 20% year on year, and our newly formed ARC, which turned profitable in its first year of operation, which again has grown its profitability quite significantly on a year-to-year basis. So this portfolio now is all profit-making and will continue to add to the overall profitability at Aditya Birla Capital. So I'd just like to end by summarizing what we've been saying during the course of today. First, all our businesses are positioned to capitalize on the growth opportunities in the market, leveraging on the digital assets that can be seen from our performance in Q1 during lockdown. This is a journey we've been on for a while, but clearly we've seen the benefit of it during lockdown when all our businesses have done, as you've heard so far, done reasonably well. We will look for balanced growth across all our businesses as we go forward during this year and future. Second, I think our comprehensive product range, our extensive distribution network, and our strong brand enable us to acquire customers at scale, adding to the 20 million customers that we already have. Retailization, as you would have seen, is a common theme across all our businesses where we continue to build our retail business, retail portfolio, and our customer count. Third, we have a very strong focus on cost optimization, be it with regard to operating our expenses or our cost of borrowing, and this will help us both get leaner as well as more efficient. We're on track to optimize costs across the platform, as I mentioned right at the beginning. Fourth, leveraging synergies across the platform, I think, gives us an advantage in terms of costs, allows us to transfer best practices from one business to another, and allows us to cross-sell. We will continue to drive the benefits of synergy across the platform as we go forward. And last, I think all the steps that I've mentioned here are expected to help us to enhance profitability, even in what is clearly an uncertain and challenging year, and we're very focused on the task ahead. So I'd like to just stop here and open it up for any questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kashyap Javeri from MJ Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I have two questions on our asset management business. If I look at slide number 29, where we have shown that about 49% of our equity AUMs come from IFAs, and that number is about 80,400 versus, if I look at last year, that number in the same quarter was about 78,000. Seemingly the pace of new IFA addition for us has meaningfully slowed down, also in line with what industry is probably is also facing. So what do you, how do you see the impact of, the profitability of IFAs, given, what has happened to the trail commission, guidelines, and consequently, the impact on, IFAs registrations, would we probably see going forward, some attrition in that number and consequently impact on our equity AUMs? And second, alongside that, other question is that if this were to happen, do we, see any cannibalization of AUMs from our asset management business to, probably insurance ULIP business?
I think overall, observation, the way I look at it is, one, for us, dealing with the IFAs and the banking and the ND channels is important, while also building our direct as a channel. While we do that, we have invested a lot of time and energy with individual financial advisors across the country, and we've been building it. Though, as you rightly mentioned, the industry itself has not been expanding in the IFA space in terms of increasing new IFAs. Therefore, there is limited scope in terms of adding new IFAs at this point of time. But having said that, these are the sustainable assets. I think if you also look at our SAP book, the way we built, so all the things are done on the basis of the sustainability needs of the business. And IFAs in general, the persistency ratios are high. And that's one of the things that we have created, working closely with the IFAs in one for maintaining sustainability of AUM through the high persistency. And also work with them closely on many areas as part of our building their skill and development activities. So I don't see any issue with respect to that having an impact on the business. But any challenge that comes for the whole industry, that's the time actually we'll have to tackle that. But as of now, given our own things that we have created all these years, we'll continue to keep that high focus area for us in building this challenge.
Right. And just on, also on another question, do you think that, you know, this could probably... in terms of profitability, if you know, the distributors are finding and you know, probably ULIP more profitable for them versus this, you know, they could be probably, you know, advising clients more on doing you know, ULIP product rather than direct investment.
While your observation concern could be seen as valid, but this discussion anyway we keep having at industry level all the time. And finally, come back to the conclusion that ultimately every customer has to be advised during the phase of asset allocation strategy. And in this process, the mutual fund will remain as a dominant investment opportunity for customers. At the same time, ULIP and customers, they will keep coming in between, depending upon the needs and various other things which he may consider. So while this will remain as a challenge, but we are not seeing any specific shift both for the industry as well as for us. Moving from us to the ULIP, and then everybody focus on customer application pattern.
Okay. And just one last question here. At industry level, would you have the number of IFA registrations as of FY19 and FY20? Like we had 78,000 in Q1 FY20 and 80,400 today. What would be the industry level number for both the quarters?
No, this number what we are given is the overall number for the whole industry, and within that we have close to about 40,000 IFA registered. In general, what we do is whatever comes to the industry, we ensure that we also work with us at the time I think they become an industry player. So you would see more or less the number more or less remaining the same as what you are given here.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nidhesh Jain from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. The first question on the NBFC book, if you can give some data or color in terms of how the collections or moratorium is panning out in the unsecured book portion of our NBFC book, and how one should think about the final credit cost on that book. That would be useful, sir.
On the retail, I think our collection efficiency is pretty decent. The customers under moratorium, close to 85-90% of the customers in personal loans are paying their EMIs, and only 10-15% are under moratorium. For business loans, it's only 20% of the customers are under moratorium. Everyone else is paying. So retail has been quite in terms of better than the company average on the moratorium. In terms of collections efficiency, also it's decent. The reason is because the customers who are under some stress, they are opting out of, for moratorium. So if you look at it's quite good compared to the, and that's what I mentioned, the collection efficiency is as good as what we had in quarter one of last year.
So 15% of the customers under personal loan and 30% in 20%, 15 and 20. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And secondly, on the health insurance business, we have seen very good growth. But sir, how we think about COVID-related claims It seems like in Q1 it has not seen any, you have not seen any impact. But how do you see that impact in coming quarters?
Yeah, so first Hitesh, is that we started to see some flattening of the COVID case curve, mainly because the fresh set of infection are happening in tier 3, tier 4 cities, which are not as highly penetrated, you know, as you would expect the metro cities where the first set of claims were coming in. So that's the first message. Second is that, you know, the claims that we have seen, which are, you know, as an additional set of claims through COVID, have been actually reasonably well compensated by the reduction in claims where, you know, for treatment which otherwise could be handled at home and people would end up going to the hospital, and also deferment of the, I would say, you know, elective treatment. So overall, and even though some of the elective treatments will come back in the future, but we are not, you know, seeing any, you know, I mean, currently I'm not worried about, you know, the claims because of COVID really impacting the profitability.
So, sir, do you think that this improvement in claims ratio that we have seen is broadly sustainable?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, sir. And the last question is on the operating expense. We have seen a reasonable reduction in operating expense this quarter across businesses. But Q1 was also a quarter where the activity levels were very low. So do you think this operating expense that we have seen, reduction that we have seen, is sustainable, or when the activity level improves, that operating expense will again revert to last year levels?
No, so Nitesh, like I said in the beginning, we have a 10% quarter-on-quarter reduction in non-volume linked expenses. And I've also indicated that we're looking at about an 8% reduction in annualized cost over the year. So we are looking at every line item and looking to optimize costs across the board. And therefore, it should hopefully be more permanent than just Q1.
And this 8% reduction is in absolute amount, you are expecting 8% reduction in overall cost?
8% over annualized FY20 cost, yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's it for my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vinay Sibrewala from Darasho and Company Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question is for Rakesh. Rakesh, on the moratorium front, you mentioned 28% of the moratorium. If you could just give me a breakup, how much is secured loans and unsecured loans, and what are the number of accounts which are under moratorium, especially on the wholesale front? Thank you.
So on the wholesale front, it will be less than 20%. And you asked me secured, unsecured. I think secured also is pretty low. The only segment where it's slightly high is the SME segment, where it's higher than, it's closer
that's
to
secured.
Around.
But that's secured.
Yeah, that's secured also. So there is where, because the SME segment is where the cash flows have been impacted because of the lockdown, and where you have a higher moratorium.
Okay. So here, how many people have taken moratorium for, say, more than 3 to 4 months, and how many have taken recently only for the month of June, July? Can you give me that breakup as well?
So again, when we started in April, it was high. Then it started every month, it's coming down as the lockdown is getting, it's easing. I think the customers are able to pay their EMI. So starting from in April, was 15. Yeah, then it's been coming down, and it's come down to around 28%.
Okay, and do you have any number in terms of the granularity? What's the average ticket size of these wholesale accounts who have opted for moratorium?
No, average ticket size I can't give you. I don't have readily available. I can...
I think the most important data on the moratorium book is the fact that if you look at the 30-plus DPD, you know, if in the prior 3 months, this book was actually performing very well. I think that should give you a better sense rather than the additional data, because we don't have the additional cuts available right now.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Piran Engineer from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congrats on the quarter. I just have one question regarding capital raise. Now, we raised capital last year, I think about 10 billion rupees. But given the situation right now, do we have plans? And if so, you know, if you could just talk about how you're thinking about raising equity capital, that would help. And deployment of the same.
Yeah, so the capital raise we raised last year should be good enough to fund the growth requirements for our businesses during this year. And both our lending businesses, as Rakesh had mentioned, have got very healthy capital adequacy ratios. So that should again give us a buffer for both dealing with
any issues that may come up as well as for growth.
Okay, okay, perfect. That's all from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Aditya Mundra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Sir, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Sir, in the life insurance business, when the new business premium growth has been good, any particular reason that the renewal premium has seen a slightly muted growth, even if I compare it to the competitors who have actually seen a much better renewal premium growth? I have other questions also, but maybe...
Yeah, so I think it's linked to the moratorium in Q1, but Kamlesh will answer that question.
So renewal premium has seen a pretty healthy growth for us too, because if you look at the reflection in the persistency cohorts, whether it is starting from 13th month going right up to the 61st month, every cohort has grown. So I think there is a growth in the individual business premium. It's a function of what is due. Obviously, some amount of it doesn't become due because there was a grace period given in the month of May and June, ending up to July. But I'm saying we've been able to recover a large part of that collection in the month of July, and therefore not reflecting necessarily in the June numbers. But in the June numbers for the quarter two, there is consistent growth in all cohorts, which is reflected in the persistency of our new collection.
All right. And sir, as far as the NBFC is concerned, what is the long-term target of, like how much percent in the long-term, like 2-3 years, what will be our percentage of retail, SME and mid-large corporate? How do we plan to keep that?
So I can tell you about this year, we retail and SME, we are at 46%. We want to take it up to 50. So we expect it to close closer to 50 this year. But clearly the growth drivers are retail and SME.
Retail and SME. Okay, sir. And then as far as the moratorium is concerned, how much of like business loan is about 20%, personal loan is 15%, and what about corporate book?
Corporate book, I told you, is less than 20%.
Okay. And SME would be?
You said SME is higher than the average. I think, like Rakesh mentioned, these are the people who have, you know, cash flow issues.
All right, sir. And yes.
So I said again, I think for moratorium, it's best to refer to the data point that we've given, which is if you look at the performance of this book in the previous 3 months, you know, the performance of the book was good. I think that should give you a better sense of the quality of the moratorium book.
All right. And sir, as far as the moratorium in the housing finance book, it's also about 28%, right?
It's 28% on the retail book, yeah.
On the retail book. Okay, and that is also that 28% would be largely focused in which segment of the housing finance?
So meaning it's home loan segment. What is your question?
In the sense, a affordable housing, or is it a prime segment?
It's across the board. It's only on the the corporate book, which is a very small portion, which is slightly higher than this.
Okay. Which is the construction financing?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Which perhaps is only 4% of our total book. 4%, so it's really a small percent of the total book. But again, there I would again point you to just look at the performance of the moratorium book in the 3 months prior. Because you see 92% of that was never 30 days plus.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Alpesh Mehta from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered. Just one question regarding the yesterday's RBI announcement. Any sense on what percentage of our book may require some kind of a handholding even post-moratorium or the restructuring that we need to do, both on the NBFC as well as the HFC segment?
Too early, Alpesh. I think thing only came out yesterday. I think moratorium ends in August. I think it's too early to say. I think we're just drawing comfort from the fact that the moratorium book has behaved well prior to that. And 85% of our book is secured. I think those are two things that we would point you to.
Uh, Perfect. And most of our peers have the higher percentage, as a percentage of the loan book, COVID-related provisioning. Do we plan to step it up, or you believe that the current level of provisioning is more than sufficient for any expected stress into the earnings going forward?
So I think it's a function of A, the segments in which you operate, B, the security, C, the kind of moratorium book that you have, and then the stress testing that we've done to be able to derive this. So we've done a fairly detailed analysis based on all of these factors, and we think therefore at this point in time this provisioning is adequate.
So there won't be any step up required, or any meaningful step up required from the current levels?
So we don't know what, you know, we can't tell what is going to happen in future, just like you very well know. I mean, we don't know what the world is going to look like in September, October. But based on what we know today, we believe that these provisions are adequate.
Okay, great. And lastly, any sense from the, because most of the, what we are seeing at the industry level right now, most of the NBFCs are coming and raising capital. Viran just touched upon that, but just any sense from the rating agency perspective, whether the current leverage is sufficient or any pressure from their side?
So we just had our rating reaffirmed two or three months ago. So during the lockdown, we had our rating reaffirmed.
And there is no communication from the rating agencies related to increasing the capitalization. Okay, great. Thanks and all the best.
Very comfortable capital adequacy.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Sarav from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So just my question centered on life insurance bit. So if you can just explain in terms of the product mix. So obviously this quarter we have seen non-par saving expanding further in our product mix. So what is the internal comfort level on this, or we are okay to grow it at these levels? I understand, of late there has been a lot of attraction towards the non-par savings throughout industry players given the steep yield curve. But what would be our comfort level, one on non-par savings rate? And on the overall balance sheet level, what would be the share of non-par savings? So as a percentage of our AUM, if you can give some color on that.
Trend on guaranteed savings and protection both in the marketplace, and that's evident as the cause of the pandemic. And you'll see some growth happening in both those areas for us. Protection as well as on the non-par guarantee. But some of it also has come on the new product that we've launched, which actually is a solutioning platform on child. And actually the driving point on that is not necessarily higher guaranteed savings rate. It's more planning for the child's education and future and marriage if required. So that's seen a blip because of a new product launch. But it's still within comfortable levels. I'm saying 40-45% in that range. That's what we are looking at. Plus, if you noted what we put in the presentation, there are 100% of our expected maturity benefits in that portfolio are actually fully hedged through FRAs, minimizing the risk of interest rate on the balance sheet side of the book.
Well, as well, just on persistency bit, I noticed that it's been a very good outcome for us, because in most of the cohorts we have seen expansion in improvement in persistency, where most of the industry peers have actually seen some kind of a tepid persistency movement. So what would you attribute for performance?
So like I said, we've made sure that the ability to pay in different forms, we've actually expanded that. Products like eNACH, which had to be done physically, now are possible to be done digitally. And some of the initiatives that we put in place with tie-ups, for example, we registered on Paytm if somebody wants to pay the annual premiums right now. We've initiated being able to pay on WhatsApp. So the whole expansion of the ability to pay on renewal as far as on digital for renewal collections actually has helped us get to significantly larger numbers. And we are seeing it improving, and we actually feel that the rate we are going will actually do better through the rest of the year.
Not a great proportion of your customers would have actually opted for the grace period then. Is it fair to assume that way?
So normally grace period you always get 30 days kind of grace period, but the number of people who actually opted for grace wasn't even more than 18-19% at that point in time when the grace period was allowed till the month of July. Thus, what we do is when the grace period thing is opted for, we also have analytical models which we work on, which tells us whether, you know, somebody is using the grace period not to pay or basically using the grace period from an economic benefit point of view. And some of these models that we put in place, which actually help us get collections of renewal at actually lower costs, have actually benefited both the ability to digitize and the models that we use on analytics actually helped us get higher renewal collections.
Okay. And just last bit on this. So obviously, there's been a very sharp jump in group new business premium. So is it mostly in the savings bit, or we have done some of these other products also like GTI or maybe credit product obviously has been very muted for the industry. So if you can just give some more color on that, what is driving that?
Are you talking about the group book? I didn't get your question.
The group new business premium.
Yeah, the group new business.
Yeah, so group new business, rightly, you know, we are more careful about not just the growth, because if it comes in areas which is not appropriate from both bottom line and top line perspective, then that's not the business that we encourage. So it's more fund-based business that we are pushing. Credit life, you would like to, but like you rightly mentioned, you know, lending is not a great thing happening for the first quarter, so that has been muted for sure. But we are looking at areas on fund management business and on the traditional side. That's what we are looking at. And we've got some good accounts on the group business in that area in the first quarter.
Okay. Thanks a lot for your answer.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So I'd just like to thank all of you for joining this call. I hope the call was audible and clear. I know in these days, there could be some technology challenges, but I hope you were able to see and hear the entire presentation. Thank you very much for joining us. Stay safe, stay well, and have a lovely weekend.
Thank you. On behalf of Aditya Birla Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.